ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भगवद गीता एज इट इज ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद चैप्टर 18 टेक्स्ट 14 अधिष्ठानम तथा कर्ता करणम च पृथग विधम विविधाश्च पृथक चेष्टा दैवं चैवात्र पंचमम। द प्लेस ऑफ एक्शन, द बॉडी, द परफॉर्मर, द वेरियस सेंसेस, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the supersoul, these are the five factors of action. Purport. The word adhishthanam refers to the body. The soul within the body is acting to bring about the results of activity and is therefore known as karta, the doer. That the soul is the knower and the doer is stated in the Shruti. Esha hi drashta srashta. Prashna Upanishad. It is also confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra by the verses Gyota eva and karta shastra tavatvid. Sorry, I'll say that again. Karta shastra tavatvat. The instruments of action are the senses, and by the senses the soul acts in various ways. For each and every action there is a different endeavor, but all one's activities depend on the will of the Supersoul, who is seated within the heart as a friend. The Supreme Lord is the super cause. Under these circumstances, he who is acting in Krishna consciousness under the direction of the Supersoul, situated within the heart, is naturally not bound by any activity. Those in complete Krishna consciousness are not ultimately responsible for their actions. Everything is dependent on the Supreme Will, the Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This, of course, is a very important point. Contradicts the atheistic idea that we are working and doing things on our own strength. That is the demoniac attitude. Ishvaro hum, hum bhogi. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer, the material, the demon, things like this. Adhyo bijanavana smi konyo stri sadrishang maya. Who is the demon thinks I'm doing everything by myself. Who is greater than me? I'm doing everything. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes quote a saying of Mahatma Gandhi that not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme. It's very difficult for us to understand this, because we are very much under the impression that I am the doer, that I'm doing things. We do have a limited quota of independence, but we often don't realize how limited that is and how much we are controlled by Daiva. Daiva is translated here as the Supreme. Sometimes that's taken to be fate. There are different words. Daiva, proktan means the effect of our previous karmic activities. A well-known term there is vidhata. That sometimes refers to the Supreme Lord, sometimes refers to Brahma, and that's that comes out also as the English word fate. Vidhata means he who ordains what we are supposed to get. Bhagya. The word is there, bhagya. Our luck can be good luck or bad luck or whatever, kismat in Urdu. And also the Muslims have the idea, inshallah, I will do something if Allah sanctions, if He allows. So this understanding, it gives a different perspective on life. Not that we're totally controlled and we're robots. We do have some measure of independence. But we are also very much conditioned by the body that we're in and the consciousness that we have acquired from previous births and from this life also. The kind of outlook we have depends a lot on what we did and thought and in previous lives. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasangosya sadasadhyoni janmasu. The living being in contact with material nature comes under the influence of the modes of nature, and by contact with the modes of nature he gets better birth in better or worse wombs, gets better or worse births. So we're very much influenced by the consciousness that we've carried from a previous life and by the association we get in this life. Sangat sanjayate kamaha. Desires arise from association. But still, if we're by our karmic reactions, karmana daiva netrina, again that word daiva comes, jantur deho papatteye, we get birth in various situations according to our previous activities under the direction of the Supreme Lord. So daiva means the supreme, it means the, it's called luck, but It's not arbitrary. It's all going on under the direction of Krishna. Everyone gets what they want to some extent and what they deserve to a full extent. But foolishly, we think we're fully independent. Now, there's a big market in the Western world for books and seminars on self-improvement and personality development. Here in India also, among the success-oriented middle class, you'll find many of them, they like to read books and go to seminars on personality development. And even there are gurus that make their business on personality development. Our devotees preaching among young people in the colleges, they have found that if they advertise a talk on the purpose of life or the Bhagavad Gita, they won't get much of a crowd. But if they offer a talk on personality development, then they'll get more people coming to them. And in one sense, Bhagavad Gita is personality development, or rather, it's uncovering our real personality. But it is a fact that our conditioning in our present state, it's very strong. For instance, the body that we have, if one has a male body, then male human body, then he's conditioned by that to desire female, association with female or sexual activity with the female human body. Of course, it's quite prominent in the modern age, this demoniac homosexual tendency. But the normal is the demoniac. It's also a demoniac, but its tendency for a male to desire a female with a material existence. It's also, well, it's not called demoniac because it can be dovetailed in Krishna consciousness. Dharma virudho bhuto smi. What is that? Dharma virudho kamo smi. What is the next line? Dharma virudho bhuteshu kamo smi bharatashava. Sorry. Krishna says that sexual propensity which is indulged in according to dharma, that Krishna says is a representation of his self, so that becomes divine, not demoniac. So this whole idea of personality development, self-improvement, actually it's a very good idea but the first thing, if we're talking about self-improvement and personality, we should understand who we are. Who is the self? We are the spiritual beings. We are Atma. So we have to, there's no real question of developing the Atma, because the Atma is achala sanatanaha, fixed in his nature eternally. But at the present time, that nature is overcome. Tribhir gunamaya bhavar edamanam adhapuman naivarhat. No, I'm getting mixed up now. The three modes of material nature. They mohitang na bijana atima mebhya paramavyayam. The three modes of material nature bewilder the conditioned soul within material existence. So when we think of self-improvement, we may think, well, I am some 20-year-old nerd going to college, and I want to be a big success in the world. So he's considering himself in terms of the particular bodily, mental, social, cultural construction, the matrix that he considers to be himself, under the illusion of dehatma buddhi, identifying the body with the self. So this whole idea of self-improvement, personality development, get ahead, become a success. They'll tell you in the seminars that you have to be focused. You have to set your goals, you have to have determination, intelligence, vision, ability to seize the moment, and so on. And they'll cite anecdotes of highly successful people like Napoleon Bonaparte, for instance, although he was forced to drink horse's urine. And he was defeated and exiled eventually, but he was highly successful for some time. And that's a major problem. Everyone in this material world who's successful, they're only successful for a short time. And then they have to go back to being something very prosaic. Just like Srila Prabhupada was told, that the first Prime Minister of India, in his next birth, after he died, there was a man in Sweden with two dogs, and he was one of them. Now you may say, well, if there's reincarnation, why don't we remember? Well, if you remembered, then how you couldn't get into being a dog if you think I'm the Prime Minister. So he gets the body of a dog because he desired that and he deserved that. So then he's endowed with material nature, with the full consciousness of I am a dog, and he can't think of anything else. In human life it's possible to understand that I'm not this body, but in a dog's body there's no philosophy. Just he's completely absorbed Abhimana, this word is used, abhimana, which means completely absorbed in the consciousness of being a dog. So they'll cite successful people like Napoleon Bonaparte, and who else? I guess in India they'll, this Premji Aziz, what's that his name? Premji Aziz, richest man in India supposed to be. So Wipro.
Mittal.
There's Mittal and Ambanis and Tatas and Birlas and rich people. So they'll cite them. What are their secrets? How this Dhirubhai Ambani, he was a refugee from Sindh and Pakistan, and he started with nothing and then he became super rich. And the idea is that you can do the same. It's a formula. It's like a scientific formula. If you're enthusiastic, determined, utsaha, nischa, patient, whoops, it sounds like something from spiritual life, doesn't it? You can do it. You can be the next Dhirubhai Ambani. If you're determined enough and you keep on trying. That example is given of Edison and the discovering the light. He made 20,000 experiments before he got it right. So the idea is, if you keep on trying, you'll do it. The mother of all these, there's so many books about this. The mother of all these books is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon, another Napoleon, Napoleon Hill, an American, I guess. His parents gave it the name Napoleon. Hill is a very ordinary name. But Napoleon, either he gave that name to himself or his parents gave it, the idea he should be something special and great. So he wrote this book, which is still a bestseller. And it's all about the attitude you have to become rich. And if you concentrate, you think about it 24 hours a day, you fully focus, then you can grow rich. And in the more recent, this was written quite some time ago, maybe before the Second World War. It's quite some time ago, but I believe it was in the 1980s that the full manifestation of all these ideas, which had been fermenting in the popular culture, came in the book called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. There's a typing error there. You obviously didn't read the book, otherwise you wouldn't have made that mistake. The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, analyzed by Stephen Covey. Rest in peace. Well, no one rests in peace, but he's dead anyway. Analyzing the lives of highly effective people, the things they do and the things they don't do to become highly effective. And this book has sold more than 25 million copies worldwide in many languages. And it's a big seller, not only in English, but it's also one of the biggest sellers in Chinese languages. And we see also in India, you've seen when you go on the train distributing books, you'll sometimes see, or you go in someone's house and they have this book. So 25 million copies. And presumably everyone who bought that book read it. I guess one of the reasons why it's a bestseller is not just the content, but it's written in an engaging style. I must admit, I have read bits and pieces of it, not the whole thing, by any means. I did see one of his books, Stephen Covey's books, another book in the office of a temple president. This is many years ago, and I flipped it open and it gave a whole list of the qualities of a successful person. One of them is that he doesn't have anyone as his guru. I closed the book. And Stephen Covey himself is called, or was called, when he was alive, a, what do they call that? A life guru or something like that. New age guru, something like that. Not guru in the classic sense of the term as one who removes ignorance, but a guru who compounds your ignorance. So, more like a guru of the demons, you could say. Although he was a Mormon, he believed in God. So, can't say he was a complete demon, but he didn't know what he was talking about in trying to incite people to be highly successful in a way which isn't really success at all. Now, there are 25 million copies sold, and probably each copy is read by more than one person. Are there 25 million or more highly effective people in the world? I doubt it. Do I know any highly effective people? Let me think about it. Well, there's Guru Gauranga in Florida. He's a successful businessman, devotee. So I guess that's one person. I mean, I don't know him very well. Tamal Krishna Goswami was very effective. Prabhupada, oh yes. We don't think, when we're thinking, I'm just thinking of ordinary people. And Srila Prabhupada is extraordinary in all respects. Yeah, he was highly effective. I don't know if he followed all of Kavi's rules. So, I'm going to be like that. Yeah, there are others, In various ways, Indrajumna Swami for years has organized so many festivals all over the world. He's highly effective in doing that. And Shivaram Maharaj has organized a farm community and prolific writer of substantial books on Krishna consciousness. So yeah, I do know some effective people. I don't know if they read Kavi's books. Or that would have made any difference to them. Because the point is, you can read such a book, but it doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to become highly effective. There may be many people who work hard, with determination, with a goal in mind, and they don't get anywhere. They end up they start life as a chaiwala and they end life as a chaiwala. Not every chaiwala becomes the Prime Minister of India. One did. But how many chaiwalas are there in India? Must be quite a few lakhs of them, huh? But most of them, they were and they are and they will be. There's also this idea that by giving everyone education, you give everyone a chance so they can become, go up in life, but it doesn't work socially because you need people to clean the floors and the toilets and to do manual work. So even if you have everyone very qualified, you need, actually the Shudra population is larger than the other castes put together because a large body of people are required to do assisting work. And that is the plan of the Supreme Lord also. We can't make everyone into a big shot or a success. It's not possible. There is the factor of daiva. I don't know if these people like Napoleon Hill and Stephen Covey and so many others, Phil Robbins, these are all lifestyle gurus, that's what they're called. Do they consider that the factor that, well, there's what you would call luck also? There may be several people trying to solve some arcane mathematical problem and someone does it and someone else doesn't do it. What is that? It's luck. This Srila Prabhupada said that by virtue of his previous pious activities in the service of the Lord, Christopher Columbus was able to discover America. Of course, discover America, that's only if you take the Western man as the center of, or the only meaningful people in the world, because there are plenty of people living there previously. So if I come, I just came, I think we all came for the first time to Saputara. So if you say, I discovered it, what does that mean? There are already people here. So from my perspective, I discovered it, but it's already mapped out, and the government of India has got all the information, and there are maps and so on. Ordnance Survey, the British actually did, first of all, in India. They mapped out India. So, but the point is that Christopher Columbus was able to get that name and fame, and probably he got wealth from it because of some pious activities previously. You may go into a battle, and there may be one army is much bigger than the other, and the smaller army wins. And you can say, well, there was their determination and their courage and so on. But there's also the luck factor. When I was at school, we used to hear about British history, how Sir Francis Drake, he was the head of the English Navy that smashed the Spanish Armada, which was supposed to be the most powerful navy in the world. They had these huge ships, and the English Navy only had very small ships. So it looked likely that the English Navy wouldn't have a chance, but Sir Francis Drake, he maneuvered the small ships very close to the big ships so that their cannons couldn't reach the small ships, and then they just shot them and they went down. But later I heard that's somewhat of a folk story, because the major factor was that there was, if the history as we're told it really is now, is that there was a huge storm, and these big ships with their big sails, they couldn't control it, and the Spanish Armada got scattered all over the place. Some ships went all the way. They were driven by the wind. They couldn't control. They didn't have the physical strength to bring the sails under control. So they were scattered all the way up to Scotland, some of them. So that's a factor. They weren't destined to defeat the English Navy. It was a lucky break for Francis Drake. So that is a major factor. Srila Prabhupada often used to say that to a large extent our life is chalked out for us. That's why there's astrology can be, it can be very effective, because our life to a large extent is chalked out. It's already there. What we'll do, what will happen to us, how we react to it, and what measures we take, astrology can help with that also. But to a large extent, the template of our life is already chalked out. In this regard, there are two verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam which have both of them have a similar import. One is in the first canto where Narada speaks to Vyasadeva, Tasyaiva heito prayate tako vidho nalabhyate dukkham nalabhyate yad brahmatam upriyadaha talabhyate dukkha vadanyata sukham kalena sarvatra gabhira rangasa. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, Patala. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time just as in course of time we obtain miseries, even though we do not desire them. To give an example, by one's sinful activities, one may be placed in the body of a pig. But in the body of a pig, even though it's abominable, there's sense enjoyment. Food to eat, the food, the pig relishes his food. He's not, we don't find pigs with indigestion and anorexia. They love to eat whatever garbage, mostly garbage. And they like to have sex. So it's a disgusting situation, but they find it to be very happy. They get happiness. It's not really happiness, where the spirit soul is supposed to be dancing with Krishna, but they take it as happiness. Prahlad Maharaj also told his school friend, Sukham Aindriyakam Daitya Deha Yogena Dehinam Sarvatra Labhyate Daivad Yatha Dukham Ayatnataha. There the word Daiva comes again. He told them, my dear friends born of demoniac families, the happiness perceived with reference to the sense objects by contact with the body can be obtained in any form of life according to one's past fruitive activities. Such happiness is automatically attained without endeavor, just as we obtain distress. So, if someone's going to be the next Bill Gates or whatever, it's not going to a leadership seminar or personality development. It's not going to happen for them. I doubt if all these people, they went to any such seminars. People go to these seminars, but what happens is they don't get the luck to make the breaks, or because they're so much conditioned by their mentality, they may hear and they may even take an exam and get all the right answers, but they can't apply it practically in their life. For instance, they may say, well, to be a success, you have to be very hardworking. But they say, okay, now I'm going to be hardworking. They went to the seminar. I'm going to work 15 hours a day. But then after 8 hours, they think, oh, what the hell? And take a break. So because of their conditioning, they don't have that kind of fortitude. I don't know if Kavi says this, but to get along in the world, there's how we deal with different people. Sometimes diplomacy is required, sometimes straightly speaking, we have to judge, to be an expert judge of people, and how practically this whole idea of becoming a success, a major part of that is how to manipulate people for one's own desires. And so one has to be expert in that. But someone, if he has a mentality to insult people or say things out of place, that can spoil your whole career. It will. Just like if one is in a company and the boss says something and the subordinate talks back to him, then he's not going to go up in the world. He'll be thrown out from the job. Srila Prabhupada himself said that when he was a junior manager in his young adult life in Bose's laboratories, he complained to a senior manager that a subordinate to himself had spoken back to him. And immediately the senior manager went to that junior manager, to that subordinate, and threw him out of the job. Prabhupada said, oh, sorry, he lost his job. But he was giving the example that there is a hierarchy. So someone may have that, someone may be very highly qualified and get all degrees and first in the class and all this kind of thing, but they may lack social skills, how to deal with people in a manner that they like to, or somehow or other they do what you want to do. Or you may not be a very good judge of what should be done, and there's no... You can go to dozens of seminars and read dozens of books on self-improvement, but if that basic lacking is there, you might be able to improve it slightly, but not so likely. Because one has attained a certain kind of mentality under the modes of material nature. That is part of the effect of daiva, the prescription of the Supreme Lord. We get a certain kind of conditioning. It's very difficult to change our conditioning. Even a pure devotee, we find Arjuna, Krishna, after speaking Bhagavad Gita, didn't say to him that, well, now you've understood all this, you can go, now you can become a brahmana and teach people Bhagavad Gita. No, he told him, you have to fight. I gave you all this knowledge, but you have to fight. And if you don't, if you think you don't want to fight, anyway, you'll have to, because your nature is so strong. Of course, Arjuna is not a materially conditioned person, but he has a certain personality. There, even in the completely transcendental state, people have different personalities and attitudes and propensities. It's not that Mother Yashoda thinks, now I'm going to go and join the Rasalila. She didn't even know anything about the Rasalila. It's not that Arjuna, he's going to become a gopi in Rasalila. He has his position, and Krishna likes that he serves in that position, in that way, with that mentality. But in material life, also in material consciousness, we get a certain kind of mentality from previous birth, and that is to be purified by understanding that I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. Although we adopt that attitude of service to Krishna, still everyone has the personality. It might be that in a previous life someone was very shy and docile, and in this life they're quite active and outgoing, because they may desire that, I've been so reticent in this lifetime, so I hope in my next life I can be more vivacious, something like that. So it may be that someone who is very backward very different. People think, I want to find out who I am, but they identify with their subtle body, their subtle conditioning of mind, intelligence, and false ego. It's not really who they are. Now, it is possible by training to learn some techniques. For instance, Yudhishthira was famous as a very bad dice player. In the court of Maharaj Virat, the Virat's commander-in-chief, Kichak, he suspected that maybe this minister of Virat, who came we don't know where from, maybe it's Yudhishthira in disguise. But then he learned that didn't have the name Yudhishthira. What was that? I can't remember what name he took. Prativinda? No. Maybe it was Prativinda. So then he learned that this minister was expert in dice. Said, then it can't be Yudhishthira. But he improved by training and practice. So it may be that one can pick up some propensity if one has the inherent ability to do so. If he has that built into his karmic matrix. For instance, someone may think, well, I want to be a great golf player, but they don't have that daiva, they don't have that sanction of the Supreme Lord. They can practice as much as they like, and they'll improve, no doubt. Even if you're a lousy golf player, you'll improve if you practice. But it doesn't mean that if you practice and practice and practice, even under the best golf coaches, that you'll become the next Arnold Palmer, who you've probably never heard of. He was a famous golf player. And the one at the present time, or the dethroned hero of golf, is this Tiger Woods. Yeah. So, it's not that everyone can come to that level. In Europe, in many other countries of the world, in most of Europe, certainly where I grew up in England, there are thousands and thousands of young boys who play soccer. During the school recess, the break time, you have 1 hour, you play soccer. Then after school, you play soccer. And all the boys are thinking, well, I'd like to be a great soccer star in future, but very few of them do. Same thing here in cricket, I guess. Everyone is dreaming, I'll be the next Tendulkar. He's Tendulkar, and before that there was Gavaskar and so many. Huh? Kapil Dev, yeah. But they don't have what it takes. It takes the blessing of the Supreme Lord. Of course, his real blessing is to understand this is all nonsense, but it is on the karmic platform. It's some kind of good karma that one may get. So, realism. We can... Bhagavad Gita is a discourse on reality as it is. Not only understanding our eternal situation as eternal servants of Krishna, but also Bhagavad Gita gives us a lot of direction for understanding what's going on here in this material world, so that we don't become bewildered, so that we can see how the modes of nature are acting and become aloof from that. We may become mentally aloof from it, but at the same time, we can't, just by desiring to, we can't just switch off our prarabdha karma. As long as we're born in a body and we have to live in it until it dies. We may, just like I have in this lifetime, I have a very thin body, so if I thought that, well, I'd like to have a big, strong body, and I can lift up weights and this and that. Well, I just can't do it in this body. And I could go practicing weightlifting, but I wouldn't excel in that field because I have a certain type of body, and I don't have that desire also, or that propensity to do so. So we're limited by the body, and certain things will happen which are not within our control. We may make all endeavors to protect our children, but if fate is such, we can't protect them. In this regard, there's a verse which just comes to mind. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nrsingha. I'll look that up. It's important. There's so much important teachings in Gita and Bhagavatam. Balasya. It's quite a common. Whoops, I have to different. balasya neha sharanang pitaro nrsingha nartasya chagadam udanvati majjato. No. And to get the rest of it, I'm going to have to keep on going. Taptasya tat pratividhir ya ihanja seshtas tavad vipo tanubritang tvadupekshitanam. Prahlad Maharaj prayed to Narasimhadev, my dear Lord Narasimhadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for you cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child, a physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient, and a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. I just heard today a recording of Srila Prabhupada paraphrasing this, that you might have the best medical treatment, biggest doctor, and still die. Whereas someone, he's abandoned, useless, there's no use to treat him, he's going to die. Of course they don't do it in the modern age, they treat them anyway and extract lakhs of rupees from the relatives. But it may be that someone's just abandoned, hopeless, no use to treat him. And then he just gets up and walks as if nothing happened. It's all daiva. See the factor of the Supreme Lord. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't make any endeavor. That injunction is also given. Naiva suptasya singhasya pravishanti mukhe mrigam. It's not that the lion is the king of the jungle, so the deer just enters his mouth. He has to go out and catch the deer. He has to do something. So that's there also. But we should understand that man proposes and God disposes. He is upadrashtanu mantacha. He sees everything and he allows. But he doesn't allow everything. Therefore we should pray to Krishna. If we're materially bewildered, we may pray to Krishna. If we're pious, artho. Artarti, those who are distressed. This comes in this verse. Nartasya, na arta, artasya. Someone who is distressed, they may pray to Krishna, and Krishna may grant them what they want, because Krishna can do anything. But a pure devotee prays, Krishna, just engage me as you like. Let me become your puppet. Now we're puppets of Maya. You've seen that painting, the three modes of material nature with invisible puppet strings controlling people. So let us become puppets of Krishna and try to act in a way that Krishna will be pleased with us. And don't forget that even if in Krishna consciousness we get some prestigious position, it may be considered now a success, now I became town president, GBC, guru, sannyasi, whatever. Or it may be some thing, now I became good mridanga player, good cook, or whatever. Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy. Mercy of Guru and Krishna. We are constitutionally helpless. This should be understood. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.